This is the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Episode number 58, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang, coming to you again from Orange County, California. Thank you for tuning in. On this episode, I talk with Dr. Verity Jones, who is the project director of the New Media Project, founded in 2010 at the Union Theological Seminary and now currently running as a part of the Christian Theological Seminary. And for those of you that are not in the mainline church tradition, those are denominations that have been around in American Protestantism for a long time. In the 20th century, mainline Protestant churches are sometimes known as the Seven Sisters of the Mainline, and they include the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, ELCA, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, the American Baptist Churches, the United Church of Christ, and Disciples of Christ and Reformed Church in America. And sometimes Quakers are included in that as well. They are spearheading a fascinating research over the past couple of years. The New Media Project was founded to help religious thinkers think theologically about digital technology, and that certainly includes social media and websites. Before we listen to the conversation with Dr. Jones, I wanted to share with you a quick excerpt from the February 2013 conference that the New Media Project held in New York City called Digital Church, Theology, and New Media, and three of the presenters, Nadia Bowles Weber, Eugene Cho, and Tony Leed, share some of the best ideas for social media. So here's a 3-minute excerpt from some of the highlights of that conference.
Two ways that we do employ social media. One is public and one's private. So at House, we have a secret closed Facebook group. Now that goes against, it took us a while to get to that place because it goes against everything we're about. So it felt really strange that we would begin to have a closed Facebook group. But honestly, the Facebook page for House for All Sinners and Saints became a fan site for the church, which just felt creepy to my parishioners. So I would like post something like, hey, what should we do in Advent? And 10 people no one have ever heard of would reply. And none of my parishioners were engaging on that Facebook page because it felt like a fan site. So we made the decision to have a closed invite-only group on Facebook for the people who are really part of that community. And it has been amazing. It's become a center for prayer, actually, in our community. So people bring their prayer requests to that page. We definitely have a praying church. They take praying on each other's behalf very seriously.
I look at new media, I see it as the church creating windows by which people, some that you know, some that you do not know, are able to look into what you are about. And so I have not, in my 11 years of planting Quest Church, I have not come across one person who has randomly, out of the blue, not that it's impossible, but has randomly chosen to walk into the front doors of our church. And what I mean by that is that front door of our churches have now changed. The front door is no longer the front door. In fact, I would tell you, probably the most important front door of our churches probably is our new media.
We use social media at Community of Hope because it's free. What did I say? It's free. It is a tool that we can use that allows us to appear larger than we actually are. Social media helps our arms to be longer. It extends the reach of the church. It allows us to reach people in places that we never would be able to with traditional media or traditional tools. Social media helps us to be high tech and high touch.
And of course, you can check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. To look at the various videos that came from that conference. There's about a dozen of them, including presentations from those three that I just shared an excerpt with, as well as some case studies and theological thoughts about the use of new media in social media and web technologies. Now let me switch over and share with you the conversation I had with Dr. Verity Jones from the New Media Project.
This is DJ Chuang for the Social Media Church Podcast. Today I'm joined with Reverend Verity Jones, who's part of the New Media Project. Welcome to our podcast today.
Thank you.
And your project is one of a few that's really spending some time thoroughly studying how churches are using social media. So would you describe how the project was set up and what you set out to do?
Certainly, I'd be delighted to, and thank you for the invitation to speak with you this morning on the podcast. The New Media Project was founded in 2010 at Union Theological Seminary in New York City with a grant from Lilly Endowment. And the goal, purpose of the project was then and still is to help religious leaders of all kinds to think theologically about new media and social media in particular. We aren't the best project for going and learning the ins and outs and the details of how to use Facebook and Twitter. What we're really trying to do is step back and ask some more foundational theological questions about the impact of these changing patterns and tools of communication on religious life and on communities, and we want to help religious leaders explore those aspects of this pretty radical shift to digital technology and digital communication so that they can better strengthen their congregations to be vital parts of American life. So we know and appreciate and have sometimes partnered with lots of great specialists out there who are really good trainers for congregations and religious leaders on how to use social media. But as I said, we tend to step back and explore the theological questions that are arising around the advent of social media. We've now, the New Media Project is part of the Center for Pastoral Excellence at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, Indiana. The project moved from Union to CTS to become part of the center. The center addresses the long arc of ministry and is looking at many ways in which we can support and help pastors to be effective leaders for vibrant congregations in many different ways. So the New Media Project has become an important conversation partner with the center around how to affect that positive kind of change. But in the first 2 years of the project, we approached our task through case study research, not particularly social scientific case study research, but rather illustrative case studies. We looked at four congregations and two institutions, six places altogether, six case studies that were looked at folks that were doing really innovative work with new media and social media in particular. And I work with five research fellows, and including myself, and I'm the director. And we, as I said, interviewed four congregations and then one institution of higher education, Abilene Christian University in Texas, Abilene, Texas, and one online network called the Young Clergywomen Project. It was an incredible experience, very enlightening and very exciting and inspiring to see what these congregations and their leaders and these organizations were doing with new media and social media. After the case studies were conducted and compiled and published, we together as research fellows worked on a set of essays looking at theological questions that are arising from these case studies. We approached those theological questions somewhat doctrinally. We looked at salvation, incarnation, Trinity. We also looked at them historically. What are the patterns of church and church life over the years around communication shifts? And we looked at ecclesiology and models of church and different ways in which churches are structured, and how that impacts, how that interacts really with their level of comfort or ability to embrace social media and learn from it.
Wow.
So that's a big... That's an overview of what we've done so far with the New Media Project. It's all on the website, by the way. We practice we're using the tools and practicing what we're learning by sharing it as we go. So all of that research is on the New Media Project website and has been published as we've done it.
That's great. I mean, you have a very active blog, and you have been sharing your research and learnings and reflections along the way. And you actually hosted a one-day conference in New York City and really shared that with the public, with an audience as well. So describe how that went and what kind of response you got.
Great, thanks. That was a wonderful opportunity. We had planned to offer that one-day conference in New York City at Union Theological Seminary in the fall, actually in November of 2012. It was scheduled. The date landed about 3 days after Hurricane Sandy hit the New York City metro area. So the conference was canceled. But it was intended then to be and still was in February, intended to be a sharing, a public sharing of the work that we've done, in particular trying to set up the theological questions and reflections with the clergy who were in the case studies that we interviewed and researched and studied. So it was an interesting combination of pastors talking about their own best practices around social media, and then the research fellows summarizing some of their theological reflection up to that point on the case studies in particular, but on social media and religion in general. And then we had two faculty members from Union respond to the theological essays, Serene Jones, who's the president of Union, and Daisy Machado, who is a professor at Union and was the dean at the time. So it was a wonderful opportunity. We had about 70 people present, mostly from the metro area, but folks also came from surrounding states. Unfortunately, I don't know what it means, but there was a major winter storm bearing down on New York City on the same day that the conference was scheduled for February 2013, the worst storm they had since Hurricane Sandy. So, so attendance was lower than we expected, but all of the participants made it in. So we were it was really the first time that all of the pastors were able to get together with all of the research fellows. So it was a creative and interesting time to share. Because of the delay, we were also able to enlist the help of a videographer to film the conference, and that's also available on the website. So both in written and now in video form, folks can see the pastors at work thinking aloud about what they're doing with new media and social media, their own theological thinking, and then also the research fellows and sharing some of their more in-depth work on issues like models of church and questions around Eucharist and incarnation and all sorts of interesting things like that.
Well, that is indeed very interesting. So let's take some time to talk about each of those things. I mean, you're in a unique place where you have a context to do research and theological reflection while in dialogue with practitioners through your case studies and this conference and even through social media. So has your research surfaced in terms of how does social media embody and reshape things like, say, salvation and Eucharist?
That's a very good question. Part of what's happening with this digital reformation, if you want to call it that, is the context in which communities of faith can live, in which they live and thrive and conduct ministry. That context is changing. So that context changing gives rise to new questions. It presses into theological questions in very much the same way that context and cultural questions have pressed into Christian theology for 2,000 years. For example, when people of faith, Christians, talk about Jesus Christ, who they believe, we believe is the God incarnate. It was God becoming human and walking on the earth with us and living with us and dying with us. The materiality of the incarnation is very important. The very concrete person on the ground, not an ethereal sort of ideal kind of distant God, but one very close and very present to us. So when you start talking in social media and people start having fairly profound experiences and even religious experiences when they're not with people face to face, folks who are very concerned and defined by the incarnation, by a doctrine of incarnation, get uncomfortable. Can we have church? Can we have real church if we are not physically present with each other? What does that mean if we are trying to celebrate Eucharist, the presence of Christ? And various traditions, of course, understand that in many, many different ways. But what does that mean to do that when we're not together in a room and we may not be holding the same bread and juice or wine together, but we might be doing that virtually. Then that pushes into questions like, well, what is community? What is the body of Christ that's scattered around the world? Well, it's always been scattered, right? The body of Christ has always been in many different places at once and has had to rely on communication tools to talk, but what is the new virtual world doing to that and how those communities are formed and shaped and nurtured? So that's an example of some of the questions that we've been looking at and throwing around and hoping for more conversation.
Yeah, so as those questions answer, how does the case studies and the real-life examples of how churches use social media answer those questions, or how does that work?
Well, one of the learnings, clear learnings from practitioners, the best and most innovative pastors who are using technology and using social media do not disconnect those practices from the purpose and mission of their congregation. They're very clear that it has to arise from the mission and purpose of the congregation. And then they use those tools to advance that mission and purpose. So they're the best practices, the pastors who are doing the most innovative work, are not sort of caught by and dazzled by the glitter of digital tools and new fun things we can do with smartphones. But they really see it as an opportunity to advance their own mission. So there's a strong, strong connection that remains to what is it that we're doing as Christians. So the danger that all of this is going to distract us from what it really means to be Christian, I don't really see happening among the most innovative congregations and pastors who are using new media. I mean, they are in some ways even clearer about the mission of the gospel than some congregations who, you know, aren't even thinking about new media. So because they've had to be. They've had to really ground their practices around social media in their mission and their purpose. So that's a really interesting learning. We've also really very few of the pastors that we've talked to want to or see the value in grounding this in something other than their specific gathered concrete community. So they are working with both people in the pews and in the building and people on the ground doing mission in their specific local community and communicating virtually with each other through digital technology and with others who can't be there and can't be present, with one exception. One case study was the Young Clergywomen Project, which is all online. It's a community of clergywomen under the age of 40 who are geographically isolated from each other and from that source of community. And so the online network serves as a substitute for the face-to-face on the ground community, because they don't have that. There are fewer young clergywomen serving congregations in the United States than there are others, and so they tend to be spread out. And it's been a life-giving sort of experience for many of the women in that network. And they've been able to connect and to support each other in ways that were just impossible to do before the advent of digital technology and communications.
Wow.
So that would be the one exception. But all the other pastors are very concerned about how it interfaces with the face-to-face community. Not in a sense that that's more real than what happens virtually, but they're really quite fluid. They move back and forth. Communication happens face-to-face. It also happens digitally, and all of that is of one piece for their life of their community.
That's great. So it's connecting people in community to the mission of the church that really makes social media valuable for these churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
What have you noticed the difference between the churches that do use new media very actively versus the ones that are inactive? Because there's still a lot of hesitation in the church world from using this and seeing this as the opportunity that can further their mission.
Well, there are various kinds of levels at which congregations are using technology. So sometimes, people in many congregations, church members and even some staff, are using social media without being terribly reflective about it. But they're using it regardless of whether their church has a website or whether their church has a Facebook page. They're using it because those are their own patterns of communication. And you see that particularly when you have younger clergy and younger staff members, and sometimes a younger congregation. But even in congregations that I know, the church doesn't have a Facebook page, but they have everybody's communicating with Facebook because that's what people use. So the pastors recognize that they've got to do that. They might not be thinking about it as an overall part of their ministry, but they're certainly using it. So that's part of what's happening. But then you still have congregations where people in the church might be using social media, but the church itself doesn't even have a computer. So and the community may have difficulty with accessing internet. It's just all over the place. One of the things that I learned from pastors, I'm an ordained clergy person myself, and recognize this. One of the great, wonderful things about American congregations is that they're one of the few intergenerational places left in our culture where you have the potential and, in many cases, the reality of multiple generations doing really great things together, from worship to just community life to service. And because of that, churches and church pastors are just going to be in the mixed media business for a long time, because you can't let people go by eliminating the print newsletter, because if they're not online, they're not going to know what's going on. So I think we're in the mixed media business for a while, and that's not a bad thing because it recognizes that we're intergenerational.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit more work, maybe a lot more work.
Yeah, it's more media channels and more generations, and I think technology is making it possible where we can kind of span those things because we can print out something digitally. So just because you have that print button, then you have multimodal communication. And as we're talking this week, Amazon, the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, just bought a newspaper company called The Washington Post. So even from the digital side, they're seeing there is value to traditional media as well. So it's a fascinating world we're in.
I was just going to say another one of our learnings from pastors and practitioners is that it's apropos of the Washington Post story, is that it's the content of what we share on social media is extraordinarily important. If you're focused on the mission and the purpose and using social media for that goal, then what is shared on social media makes a huge difference. So the content matters. I just wanted to add that. Thanks.
Oh, excellent. Very good. So I'm guessing the New Media Project is continuing for a while. What can you share with us in terms of what you're working on next?
Yes. As we make the transition to Christian Theological Seminary, we'll stay focused on helping religious leaders think theologically about technology. But our interest is a little more focused now in how social media impacts the forming, shaping, and nurturing of faith communities. So looking really at the body of Christ question and how communities, how they really thrive or don't thrive. And then the second area of interest is how Christian communities are articulating the gospel in fresh new ways with these new tools, new media, multimedia, and social media tools and platforms. How are they telling stories, both in public discourse and in their own community proclamation, in new and interesting ways that lift up the gospel? So those are the two areas we're focusing a bit more on. We have plans to share the learnings of the project thus far with a much wider audience of pastors and leaders, and that's part of the benefit of being part of the Center for Pastoral Excellence here. And we want to continue our own research and reflection and to spark and support a more robust national conversation and exploration about these questions. We would be very interested in sparking interest among theological schools and theologians themselves on these questions. Our research fellows are historians and theologians and journalists and pastors. How can we help move these deeper theological reflections into the conversation in theological seminaries? Who are training the pastors who are going into a changing context for their ministry.
Wow, wonderful. Well, so glad to connect with you, Reverend Jones, and really appreciate the learnings that you're finding and sharing with the world of churches here in the U.S. and around the world.
Well, thank you for the good work that you do in sharing information and podcasting and linking for all of the folks who are really looking hard at this question. It's an important question around social media and its impact on churches. And you are part of that conversation, and I thank you for doing so.
And that was my conversation with Dr. Verity Jones of the New Media Project, hosted now by the Christian Theological Seminary. And be sure to check the show notes for links to not only the videos from the conference, but also several articles where Dr. Jones shares some things about the project, the New Media Project, including thinking theologically about using social media. That was also published in Huffington Post. And some of the more interesting blog posts and essays that I found, as well as links to a few of the blog posts and essays posted at the New Media Project blog that you'll want to take a look at if any of these subjects about thinking theologically about digital technology strikes an interest for you. And the show notes are all there at socialmediachurch.net. And what we love to do here at the Social Media Church is continue the conversation that has been going on for well over a year online, through social media, as well as through this podcast. And to keep the conversation going, I'd love to hear from you and what you think about this episode, this conversation, or just what's going on in your church as you're thinking about social media, as you're doing social media, or any questions or stories that you'd like to share with our listening audience. We've got somewhere in the range of 100 to 200 listeners that have been regularly subscribed and listening to our conversation here. And I know for those of you that have a commute, it's a convenient way to just glean for some real-life ideas of how other church leaders are using social media, and that's what we're cultivating here. You can call in with your comments and stories and even questions to our listener line. The number is 949-354-3216. The number again, 949-354-3216. Or you can email me, The email address is me@socialmediachurch.net. Or you can use Twitter or Facebook. The links are at socialmediachurch.net. But we'd love to connect with you any way you'd like, and certainly you can leave a comment on this blog post as well with this episode. And for those of you that subscribe on iTunes for your podcasts, be sure to add a review and add your rating so that others can find this podcast and join the conversations here. And if you're on Android, I also provide the RSS feed or any other device so that you can subscribe there as well and continue listening and joining in on the conversation. I'll wrap up this episode here. Thank you again for tuning in to the Social Media Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.